Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That is. Henderson was already behind the line when he received the handball.
Well, that's as deliberate as it comes.
Yeah, that's deliberate.
What else could that be? Oh,
man, this is... Now, this is interesting. Toby Green, what's this? Puts the boot up. Was it deliberate?
Welcome to Clicking Balls, an AFL podcast. This is round 21, all wrapped up. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask each week is a highlight of the week. So, Josh, you got a highlight of the week?
Oh, to be honest, it's probably the turmoil that's going on in politics at the moment. I know it's not a popular thing, but when you get a bloke who has been pretty vocal about the Greens fucking up, and then he says, you know what, I might actually be a Kiwi, it's kind of funny.
I just like that you can be a Kiwi and not know it.
Yes.
It's astounding.
Honestly, it does explain a few things.
He should run for New Zealand Parliament.
Yeah, and I mean, I always knew that sort of immigration policy would be the downfall of the government. I just didn't think it would be this way.
Didn't think it would be the 1947 immigration.
Yeah, the fact that we are immigrants kind of highlights the hypocrisy of the whole government at the moment, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, they're just there to look after themselves.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's nothing new, isn't it?
To me, politics, though, is just like the SANFL. I just don't care.
It's like they're not really in control of the game, but no. They just pretend that they are. And I mean,
the results don't matter.
No, yeah. Either way, yeah, it's like the South Park reference of the turd sandwich or the giant douche.
And it's just easier not to. Footy's more important than politics.
Well, exactly. That's why I hate it when we fucking get the whole political aspect coming to footy. Like, the diversity
fella. Lad.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, just...
A right cross isn't really that political.
Turns out he's just a bit of a turd.
Yeah.
Maybe it should be. Actually, maybe that would make question time much funnier.
Yeah.
We're going to roll the piss out of each other.
We're going to right cross over to Parliament now.
Yeah. I'd watch that on pay-per-view.
There's always those videos of, you know, the Taiwanese or... Bloody
Japan was big for it. Japan, the brawls.
That's right. He had the big judo throw, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, who would win in the current parliament? Malcolm Turnbull's getting fucked up.
In Australian parliament. Yeah, I was going to say, I thought you meant international. I mean, Putin wins all day.
Yeah, shit, yeah. But, Mal's getting fucked over. Julie Bishop, she'd have a mean streak, I reckon. She'd pull the steel chair.
She'd death there, a motherfucker, from 40 yards.
That scepter that sits there, she'd be picking that up and hanging it around everyone's ears.
This shows how out of touch I am. Is Justin Madden still in parliament?
No. No, that was Victorian Parliament state. Anyway.
Was it? There you go.
Yeah.
See, I know nothing.
I always knew that they put on state because theirs has got the oldest fuck-looking chamber. Yeah.
Brenton, you got a highlight? Oh, your beer of the week first?
Beer of the week, yeah. We're going with Boat Rocker again. They've actually released bottles of their Wild Cherry, which is a blended Flanders Red Style. Very sour, barrel-aged, had on tap. It's fucking amazing.
A Flanders Red Style.
So it's scrum-diddly-umptious?
Scrum-diddly-umptious, exactly right. So get onto that. It won't last very long at any of the outlets you can get it to. But if you head out to... the lovely suburb of Braeside, you actually hit up their barrel room, which is pretty fucking interesting. So you can get into where they store their beers and...
the lovely suburb of Braeside.
Have a little tasting, yeah.
There's something you don't fucking hear of.
Well, that's the only reason to go out to Braeside, let's be honest. Have no idea what else is there, but I've heard it shit.
I used to work there, but the place got burned down a couple of times. So, yeah, story checks out.
Oh, that's right, yeah. The old don't pay your bills.
Old mate.
Yeah, fair enough.
Interesting way to run stock take. You got your highlight of the week as well.
Well, no, I don't actually. Josh has told my highlight of the week. My highlight of the week is the beer of the week too.
There you go. I got a highlight of the week, and I'm really unfortunate that I can't remember the lad's name. I might turn my highlight of the week into the Reddit comment I saw of the week.
Yep.
So on the AFL subreddit on Reddit, somebody, and I'm sorry that I didn't write the name down, and I've since deleted the thread. They have the Whose Line Is It Wednesdays or whatever.
Yep.
So, you know, pose a question.
The game doesn't matter and someone gets fucking
points made up, yep. Things Rocket Eade said after he got fired.
Right.
And the comment was, things Rocket Eade said after he got fired. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Blast off! <It's> so...
I do like there's dads on Reddit.
It's brilliant.
Lots of dads.
I don't know why. I just saw it and went, oh, that's too good.
Brings back too good to flashes to like preschool or something with the rocket clock.
Yeah, they were play school.
Yeah, play school, that's the one. Yeah, preschool.
Surely they've still got that.
Yeah.
Must do.
I was way out of preschool when I was watching play school.
I think I told you... I might have mentioned it a couple of years ago, Play School had their 50-year anniversary.
Did they really?
And there was a doco on it on ABC, right. And they called it Big Ted's Adventure.
Right.
I just like Big that. Ted's instead Adventure. Of, instead of excellent, Big Ted's Excellent Adventure. That was the key part.
Yeah.
Never mind. All right. Anyway, let's go to the footy. Seeing as we got some round 21 games to go through. And Friday night, the kick heard around...
Ha!
Yeah.
The Western Suburbs. The Giants, 105. Bulldogs, 57. To be honest, the Bulldogs kicked themselves out of this game, as well as Toby Green kicking him in the face.
So, what did you think of that?
I thought it was a fine. When I saw it, I went, you know what? That's unlucky.
Yeah.
He didn't do too much wrong, but it happened to be
Green.
An accident. Yeah. And it happened to be Toby Green. And then somebody else, again on Reddit, posted Luke Parker got done for something similar last year, but it was in the stomach, or it might have been a little bit lower than that.
Yeah.
And he got a fine. Yeah. And I went, oh, okay, so there is actually something that's happened similar. Mm. Same thing, he jumped up and sort of kicked the leg out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you give a fine just to keep him in order.
See, I just thought it was just a dick move. Like, I think it was just taking advantage of an area where you could cause harm to someone, and so you chose to do so. It's almost like when you get someone in submission in BJJ and you can choose to snap it, or you just put some pressure on it, wait till they tap.
It's like
you have the option, and I think he just went for the snap option. Also, it was Dowhouse that he put it on, who's like 4 foot nothing as well. So
that hurt him as well.
Yeah,
if it's a normal sized player,
yeah,
he's getting him in the chest.
Yeah, so yeah, I feel like there shouldn't be any really penalty behind it. I just think it's a dick move from a dick.
Yeah. Watching it live, the crowd was fucking vocal.
Oh, were they?
Yeah. They were vocal right from the start with Green, booing him every time he got near the ball. And let's be honest, Green loves that shit.
Well, I'd say that's the thing about it, is how good is he? Because
he's a quality player.
About 2 minutes after that, took a great mark in the goal square and went back and converted. Did not look like it bothered him one little bit.
You would have loved it.
He's turning into the Reggie Miller.
Yeah, isn't he?
Just, come on. But it wasn't like, I fucking told you. Take that. Everyone else was like, no. Nah. Business.
Yep. It's like
fucking
the whole crowd's like, I hate you, and he's like, I don't care.
Yeah. Who are you?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I don't care. But after watching the replays, he had the eye on the ball the whole time. Stuck the foot out, which again, dick move.
Yeah, it's protecting space and
like you said, taller player gets him in the stomach and that's regular. And a little lad like that, he does have to protect himself as aggressively as possible in this case. But
a little lad like Green or a little lad like Dowhouse? Green's not that small, you know. He's
Just 6'1". By comparison, he looks small.
Is he really? I thought he was under sixer.
No, he's taller than you think he is.
It's like people thinking Matthew Dellavedova is small.
Yeah.
And he's like 6'2", or something like that.
Comparatively, he is.
Yeah.
When you're hanging around seven footers.
Kind of reminds me of Toby Green too.
Yeah. I can let hang out.
His response, I couldn't get out. I thought it was brilliant. Just to stand up and say, no. Doesn't matter.
And I like someone just turn a full heel in the AFL. I mean, everyone's trying to do the proper media managed personality and sell sponsors and shit. And Toby Green, even though I don't really like him, I like the fact that he's gone, fuck this, man. I'm owning my bad boy image and just running with it.
I like the fact there's no excuses. There's I was trying to use a pressure point. It's just, I put my foot out in his fucking face.
Yeah.
and afterwards, didn't want to speak to the media. He's like, no.
He's not going over to apologise. He might shake his hand after, but he's not sorry.
We won. That's all we have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guarantee if the same thing came up again and it meant, winning the ball, you'd do it again.
Yep, exactly right. I can't fault him for that. It's just, like I said, dick move.
I think a fine's about right.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. And first off, I thought nothing. I thought, you know what? It's bad luck. It's unlucky. And Dowhouse did nothing wrong either.
No,
it's not like he was at fault.
Yeah.
Not that anybody suggested that he was, but just one of those things. Just happens.
Funny thing is, if either of them was looking at the player, it either would have been avoided or it would have been 10 times worse.
Yeah. Could happen. Very disappointing for the Bulldogs. So there were periods, especially in the second quarter, where they were absolutely dominant and had the ball locked in their forward 50. Just could not convert for their life.
And that's been sort of a similar story for the Bulldogs all year, hasn't it?
Yeah, three goals, six in the second term.
Yeah, just figuring out what is the actual avenue to scoring goals.
old mate Pinhead Patton too was paying 8-1 first goal, kicked it.
Really? Did you jump on?
Benny V did. He managed a nice little pickup from that.
Fair enough.
He had a, I think he had about 50 on it.
Nice.
Actually, if his wife's listening, he had $5 on it.
Yeah. Broke even. Yep.
Yeah.
He looked like he kicked 3 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
It looked like he could have been on for anything.
I think he had the first 2.
I thought Lachie Whitfield had a good game as well.
Yeah.
Certainly showing a little bit more run than I've seen out of him.
And what happened with Mitch Wallace and Libba? Did they get injured or just got moved out of the game? Like, I was at work this one. So.
Oh, okay. Libba was doing the tagging role.
Right.
For the most of it. Did all right. I'm not sure on Mitch Wallace. I don't remember getting in touch as much. Yeah.
A kick. Oh, no, sorry. 8 and 1 handball. No, 1 kick,
yeah.
8 handballs.
A kick, yeah. Yeah. Lots of handballs.
Yep. So I feel like it was
very quiet game.
Going up against a strong midfield like that, you need all guns firing.
Yeah. It's hard for Bulldogs here to get into the finals. I think they need.
I think Redpath's out too.
Redpath got 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Sure.
For a punch that I didn't even see.
Yeah. No.
But he's got an existing record, so he gets bumped up.
Yeah. So he's not playing until finals
if they finals make finals. Play. I think to make finals, they need West Coast to lose to Melbourne. Or Melbourne to lose 2. That's not going to happen because Melbourne have got an easy run in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
West Coast to lose both games and Essendon to lose at least 1 game.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's going to happen either because Essendon have got an easy run in as well. They've got like Brisbane and Frio.
Sweet. Can't wait to that.
Fuck like Gold that Coast and Frio. One or the other. So it's going to be very hard for the Bulldogs to get in there. And part of me wants... And they play Port this week. The Bulldogs. And part
in
of me,
Ballarat.
In Ballarat.
Wow.
Yeah. Part of me wants Bulldogs to lose so that next week is their last game and they know it because that way you can enjoy it because it's, you know, got two absolute stalwarts of the club, legends of the club retiring. You want to know it's their last game
rather
than
definitely
play the Friday night and, oh, we've got to wait till Saturday and Sunday and they're retired.
Yeah.
This way they can go there and just enjoy it.
Much easier for the marketers of the club, too, to like bang up some little social media frenzy so you can get more people out there, sell some merchandise.
But, I mean, imagine if they win, like, okay, they need to win and other results to happen in round 23. Do you cheer them off on the game? Because they're not retired, but they might be by Sunday.
This is true.
And they, you don't get
you cheer them off.
Like I say, the worst case scenario is you chair them off twice.
Yeah. You can have 2 chairs if you need it.
Or you just chair off and you're like, nah, that's it. You're done.
You're done, mate. You're dropped.
You're coming back.
You dropped for the first week of the finals. Sorry about that. Sorry about your damn luck.
Yep. But good luck with the future career.
Big win for the Giants, though. They still got players to come back.
Trav Cloak, he's still contracted for next 2 years?
No, next year. Yeah, it would be his last year too, I think.
Yeah, I think he might get chaired off as well because I don't think he's bringing anything.
I thought he was all right.
Oh, he was okay.
He was rucking. But like they played him as a ruck, pinch hitting forward.
He's just okay.
Yeah.
Like if you have the choice of him or anyone else that's younger, you're probably going for the young lad.
Tyrone Vickery's younger, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I would
gladly trade right this second for him.
I love the fact that he's actually made a debate out about who was the best Cloak brother. Because no one liked the other two. It was just like Braden and Braden or something.
I think Travis is quite comfortable.
Yeah, but he's still a big disappointment for the raps that were given to him since Carlton recruited 2 Cloaks before they...
Collingwood
recruited 2 Cloaks just so they could just take Travis. Him. Yeah,
still won a flag.
You know what's
true?
You know what's bad when even the media has given up giving him shit?
Yeah.
Like, no one's jumping on him now. They're just like, yeah, he's shit. Well, no one's interested.
He did come out and have that... depression discussion as well.
Yeah,
said a couple of weeks. So
that's it. You gotta
buys you some space.
You gotta err on the side of caution that, and we don't because he's not listening to this. Let's be honest.
All right, we'll go on to Saturday then. Everything that happened, we thought would happen. Swans won by 100. Buddy kicked half the amount of goals I thought he would.
Yeah, yeah.
What is there to say about this game?
Look, 5-9 is pretty flattering for Freo in this game. To be honest, they did not like kicking a goal for a long time there.
Yeah, there's only a couple of late ones that got him over the line, and you know, a bit of the cue in the rack stuff.
Yeah,
5 for 20 at possessions, but he didn't have an influence.
No, not really. And it's hard too because the rest of the team was having a shit day.
Yeah, he's the only Freo player in the top 10 of possessions.
Yeah,
everyone else was just raffling.
It's 104 points. Look, Freo, I know they've locked away Rossi Lyon for a long time, and you can say, yeah, we've had injuries and stuff, but. Jeez, they get a lot of players that go home, you know, and still it's just not working for them.
But you've got the Hills, who are some of the fastest players in the AFL. Why play the lockdown fuck around defense. Why not use the pace?
I mean, there's one way.
I'm no grand final coach, but I've got the same amount of premierships Ross Lyon does, and that's my opinion.
Yep. Seems like he's trying to will something to work, and sooner or later you've got to take a step back and go, hey, we're going to change this.
But let's face it, on the base of talent, they were never going to win this game regardless.
Yeah,
they needed something drastically to go wrong for the Swans.
Yep.
And that didn't happen.
Yeah, they needed to face the Swans in like round two or something. And, in fact, they could have.
And, you know, like we said, Buddy kicked four, but played up the ground more often than not.
Played where he wanted
to. It became training for them. Like by halftime, they're like, look, lads, we got this sorted. Let's just have a bit of fun with this.
This wasn't much to watch there. Okay, so we'll go down to the Geelong and Richmond down at the Cattery. 80-66. Richmond tried, but just I thought their field kicking really let them down.
Well, there was a fair bit of tight sphinctering around halfway through the third quarter when Richmond had a bit of a run on. Quite a few concerned Geelong supporters. I was at the match and I was just enjoying cheering the game. There was an American bloke behind me who knew two players, Danger and Rioli. And he was just cheering for those guys.
Good on him. Might have been here for the International Cup.
You know? He was. Actually, I saw the French team, Le Coqs, were there as well.
Lucky them.
Yeah, they were enjoying it. They spent most of the time trying to pick up Geelong supporters, which just shows they've got no standards. But
yeah, they go out real quick.
Yeah. I enjoyed teasing the Geelong supporters around me, and then I enjoyed teasing the Richmond supporters around me.
I think this
that's the only drive I've got in footy at the moment.
This game was won in the second quarter, I think, when they managed to shut Richmond's run down, Dusty down. And they did a really good job tagging Dusty so that, not crossing the line, but just he knew as soon as he touched the ball, he had to dispose of it. He couldn't clear out and get space. So someone was always there putting pressure on him. And that was the real turning point. Tigers tried to claw it back to their credit in the third and fourth, but it was never going to be enough. And Harry Taylor up forward was just dominant on Rance for the first half.
Yeah.
You know, made it look easy. Yeah. Yeah. Just always had the right position.
I've got to say, with Geelong too, some of their kicking to a forward, like especially when they played Hawthorn, I noticed. You go, oh Jesus Christ, that's exquisite.
Yeah,
they get great service out of their mids, and even Motlop, who gets gets bagged a lot. I thought some of his kicking, you go, oh man, that's a nice pass.
Yeah, and like the Tigers tackling definitely let him down as well. There were so many slip tackles they could have had that would have stopped running plays and also turned the ball over and put them into a sort of some sort of forward line attack. But there were some positives out of it. I thought Vlosten played very well. McIntosh had his little moments, and so did Butler.
Yep.
Yeah, he played pretty well. So I think Geelong as a whole, they just didn't put a foot wrong. I thought they just played above what they should have been playing for the talent they had on the field that day, and you can't really do much more than that.
I was happy that I picked this because it was the perfect storm for Richmond to win, which means they're going to lose.
That's exactly right.
Who was the Selwood impersonator?
I don't know.
I can't remember. Someone had the whole mummy head.
No, I missed that.
Might have been Stanley, actually. He had a bit of a cut and went through that. Cam Guthrie, though, he had some class touches.
Didn't he?
He did.
He's had a good year.
Yeah.
He's ready to take that next step next year, I reckon. He'll be a superstar.
Well, he's going to lose his number next year, so maybe that'll change it up.
He famously swapped Guernseys with Juddy the last time he played.
Yeah.
Do you reckon he'll swap Guernseys with Gary Ablett and Gaz with, hey, thanks, mate?
Fucking oath. I hope that is. Yep. And even if...
If only they played.
If only they played, yeah. But you do that just for the smartest aspect. It's here, son. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And pass his Guernsey to like someone in the crowd.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll move on to the next one then. It's a very uninspiring weekend, to be honest. Brisbane got over the Suns by the best part of 10 goals in Solly's first game as coach. They had some endeavour early on.
First half was fantastic for them, to be honest. I thought I was really impressed. They were determined, chased after every ball, put the body on the line.
And then they were buggered.
Yep, then that was it. They could not run that game out.
8-9 at half time.
Yep.
That kind of hurts.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And what did it end up being? Like 13 in the last half for Brisbane or something like that?
Yeah, 13 goals.
Yeah, to 5 or 4.
Yeah, it's not bad when the 18th place side is kicking 22 goals.
Yep.
But anyway, everyone knew that Gold Coast have got issues.
To be fair, Brisbane are struggling, but they're probably one of the best wooden spoon teams we've had in the last 10 years.
Yeah, easy. I'd say easy. They're still winning games this late in the season.
Yeah.
And 5 wins, I think this puts them on now.
Yeah.
Remember back in the day when they had priority picks,
yeah,
under 4 wins used to be you get a priority pick.
Yep.
So you go, well, the Wooden Spoon this year is going to be at least 5 wins, maybe even 6.
It's pretty nice North and Brisbane, isn't it?
Carlton's there as well.
Yeah,
I can't see Carlton winning another game, but
no.
You never know. Yeah, so I mean, it's hard to find positive for the Suns besides the first half, but
that's a positive in itself, though.
Yeah, you know, at least there was something.
It was a good half, and
more injuries too. Lennon's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I still thought Jack Martin did pretty well up forward. I mean, didn't get the best delivery into the forward line, but he presented, did something, tried to make the most of opportunity. So I feel like there are some little positives there, and you're going to find out who has the endeavour and who's really going to be taking that next step forward next year,
yep.
Who they actually put their money on to build that team up from the inside out. So, yeah, that's what going to be the wins are for Gold Coast for the next couple of games.
And see what they can get out of, you know, an Ablett trade.
Because
I'm of the opinion that they shouldn't give him away for nothing. Because there's no fucking point.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And it sends a message to everyone else, like, hey, don't worry about it. You know, off you go. But at the same time, if you can get something for him, it's better than, you know, sometimes this year he's looked. You know, he's probably still get 12 votes, you know, in the Brownlow, but sometimes he's just like, fuck this, I ain't playing.
Yeah, and as you can see, he's just frustrated with being that far ahead of everyone on his team, that they're just not on the same level, and it's obvious. But, you know, Geelong are a good team to raid. And so, I mean, I think at the moment, them or Adelaide are the best teams to raid for experience. And so I think they're going to be looking for probably experience, because they still got pretty good draft picks finishing, you know, towards the bottom for this year, you'd imagine. Yeah. So you'd be a bit of experience in there, and you can see how they're going to progress next year.
We'll move on to Essendon and Adelaide at Etihad Stadium. The Crows by 43 points. It was pure talent, I feel.
Yeah.
The Crows. Essendon tried to muster a comeback at times, and then Adelaide just go bang. And they look Globetrotter-esque. Just the crisp ball movement, and, you know, they have somebody in the goal square just sitting there waiting.
Well, the scary thing about Adelaide is that they're almost kicking just as many points as goals, and they're regularly scoring over 20 goals a match. So imagine if they actually had, well, they get plenty of it, so that's why they can have that many points and they can just, like, bang away at the goals. Yeah. But imagine if they actually had some accuracy. One game where everything just you know, hit all the right points and started kicking straight. They'd be kicking 35 goals, 9 or something like that.
Well, they had in 15 and nothing from Betts. Like, he scored a point, I think.
Yeah. I think he had one score involvement.
Yeah. Wow. So, you know, they've got just such a potent forward and half forward line that they can afford for guys to have an off night.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Let's be honest, Eddie Betts has been at a quiet, you know, month or so. But he's still, you know, top 10 in the Coleman because of how consistent he was before that.
And how much he gets to look at the ball. So it makes it very easy when you've got big men like Adelaide do with Jenkins and Walker in forward lines.
And you can afford to have him, you know, play 5% of his time in the midfield.
Yeah.
I think, too, having Betts there gives the tall forwards an easier time of it, because Betts is running around the outside of the boundary. And normally, if you've got a forward out there, you're like, fuck him.
You can have a shot from there.
With him, you've got to man him up. So you've got one less player to get in the lane.
If it doesn't,
I can lead.
If he doesn't take a player, he occupies their mind.
Yeah,
where is he? Okay, I've got to worry about that.
Because no backman wants to be on that highlight reel.
Nah. Yeah, that's for sure.
Although he had one highlight reel. It was about his only good play for the day, where he tapped it over the head. Of Bagley, I think it might have been.
Yeah, just a bit of payback for last week when Jenkins gave him a little nice little tap. Matty Crouch, what do you reckon his chances are for Australia?
Oh, geez.
He's in big company.
I think he's in. I'd have him in.
He's in the squad, I'd say.
He's definitely got his name in the hat. It's just, like, he's one of those people that you can't, like, just from feeling, you don't want to put him in there, but when you go back and look at what he's really done, it's pretty hard to deny it.
Yeah. Well, you think, how many genuine midfielders are going to have? It's usually 6 to 7.
Yeah.
Dusty Dangerfield is a given.
Yeah.
I'd have him ahead of Sloan.
Yeah.
I mean,
really?
I would. Yeah. I think because he's always consistent. He's never having an off game, even when he's been tagging players. He's been racking up another 20 possessions himself anyway.
Well, I think he's second in the league for possessions.
Right.
Which is not a bad effort.
It's probably behind Tom Mitchell, isn't it?
Well, truly behind Tom Mitchell. But
he's averaging 32.4, whereas Mitchell's averaging 35.6.
Wow. So I was like, all right, he was second. Yep. There you go.
And Rory Laird is fourth.
There you go. Oh, so they're just waxing it between each other.
Yeah, slack bastards.
Slack bastards. it was a dominant performance from Adelaide, and you know, well and truly premiership favourites, which means they'll lose to Sydney this week. On to the Eagles, got up over Carlton at home. you got to say a disappointing win.
Yeah. Wasn't looking likely for a while there. Like Carlton definitely, I mean, played their good half a game as they have all year.
or a good quarter even.
Yeah.
You know, kicked six goals just after halftime.
Yep.
Which is enough. Big Levi Casbolt still taking some great marks.
He's always been able to take great marks. It's just putting him between the fucking sticks he has issues with.
Yeah, that very unlucky incidents where he passed it off just before halftime.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, that's almost what you expect from Casbolt.
Yep.
Even hit the target.
Yeah, if he didn't have bad luck, he'd have no luck.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I think it still does show that Carlton are still trying, the fact that they managed to pull back six goal differential for a quarter time. So
guys playing for careers.
Yeah, very much.
And actually, one of their assistant coaches or director of coaching, Neil Craig, announced he's retiring today.
No, really?
And you got to admit, a failed coach. When you say failed, I mean, he got Adelaide to finals, but didn't get over the line.
Still tried to axe Taylor Walker, didn't he?
Yeah, he was the one that put Taylor Walker in the SANFL.
Magoos.
And the next coach made him captain. to have a career that spanned four or five AFL clubs in 20-odd years, you're doing something all right.
Yeah, and especially coming out of like the science side of sport as opposed to, or the education side of sport as opposed to being like an out-and-out AFL star player.
Yeah. Well, I think he was a decent sample player.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. But he actually took the time to educate about,
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Degree in?
Fitness. Sports or fitness, like. Yeah. He started off as the Crows fitness guy.
Yeah, something to do with actual body development.
Yeah, something like that.
I do wonder when we will see a transition to professional coaching.
Clarko tried to
develop coaches. Yeah.
No, like with the NFL, how you get people who never played the game, but they were a coach. They coached, junior fucking leagues, worked their way up to the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think we're inching towards it. You're right. Clarkson's tried, the university approach and all that. We've got, two off the top of my head right now that have never played AFL coaching?
See, I feel like you've got just a massive untapped resource in Supercoach. I think the winner of Supercoach, they should be able to coach Brisbane next year. That's how it should work.
Why not?
Yeah. It's almost like PlayStation have that Nissan Academy where whoever wins Gran Turismo actually gets to race for Nissan.
Yeah, good on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only other thing to watch for the Eagles was Josh Kennedy. Kicked another half dozen, leads to Coleman.
Yep. Should be home and hose, I reckon.
Well, the Eagles got a very tough run in. It's going to make it difficult for them.
I still think he's going to kick a bag, though. I can see him kicking at least six over the next 2 weeks, which means Danaher needs to kick seven.
I can see Danaher kicking seven. Danaher's my favourite for the Coleman because I know the Essendon run home is a lot easier than the West Coast one.
Anyone else got to stay in the race? Because I don't like either of those.
Franklin.
Shit.
And they play Carlton.
Oh, wow.
In round 23.
Wow. Is that the G?
No. SCG.
See, I feel like it'd be better than G.
Yeah.
Benny Brown's home and hosed. He's got the Lions last round, kick 20 there.
Yeah, of course he does. All right, let's go looking at Melbourne and their cheese platter versus St Kilda. Yeah. geez, it's got some airtime, that cheese platter, hasn't it?
Doesn't it? I just don't know what mainstream media would report on AFL if it wasn't for Reddit. Like, they'd be fucked. They'd have to actually do their job.
I as soon as I saw it, I went, okay, he's obviously done this for a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
And I heard just today, did an interview on Triple M, I think, or one of the radio stations, and exactly that. He thought it'd be a bit of a laugh, but he enjoyed it and went along with it. I'm like, Good stuff, lad. You knew exactly what you're doing. You got away with it.
Well, that's it. I mean, we've seen it before. It was in the car park before people were leaving. They just set up a nice little cheese board and charcuterie and a couple of glasses of wine while everyone's, you know, butts to nuts trying to get out of the MCG.
Exactly, yeah. So I just want to see for the next 2 weeks, people are obviously going to try and outdo him.
Yeah.
They're going to, somebody's going to bring a pig on a spit.
Well, that's it. I just figured, you know, put some ribs in the smoker before game, you know, come out, and they're all ready.
Have a whole carvery there.
Yep. Good to go. $5 a bucket.
Yeah, Bay Marie.
Plate. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind bringing a fondue set.
Well, imagine if you just lined up, because there's always a massive lineup of cars trying to exit the parklands around MCG. You just lined up a little spit, you know, a bucket full of meat, make up a little kebab or something on your way out. It's $5. Nice little moneymaker there. I reckon the Tigers should get on it.
You know, there is food outlets on the outside of the MCG.
You could definitely undercut their prices. Like, you got no worries there.
Shouldn't be an issue.
We'll bring some honesty back to these fuckers.
Yeah. Oh, buffalo wings.
Buffalo wings the way to go. There you go.
That's it. What you should do is set somebody up at the front of the queue, like at the front of the car queue, $1 a wing.
The car queue.
You know what I mean?
Yep, the far queue.
The far queue.
And then towards the end, charge them $5 for a tissue.
Fucking oath, eh? See? Reading my fucking mind. One buck a wing at the start, and then at the end, all right, now it's $5 a wing and $10 for a fucking...
Chocolate milk.
$10 for a napkin. Anyway, the actual game, not too bad. One thing I did notice, though, Josh Bruce...
Yeah,
He's got to have a new nickname. I put it out there that his nickname should be Heston.
Heston?
Yeah, because he can make a meal out of anything.
Yep.
Is there a worse player from the goal square in the AFL ever?
Oh, shit. Richo. Richo's got to have his name in the hat, I reckon.
He's from the edge of the goal square. I'm talking Josh Bruce, open goals. I've never seen somebody mess it up more.
Yep, that's a fair point.
Who was that last week? Was it Miles?
Yeah, he got knocked over in the goal square.
Yeah. Managed to turn an easy goal into a point.
Yeah, but Josh Bruce has done it four times this year.
Yeah, that's true. And they actually mattered, those ones.
A little bit, yeah. Well, it would have, this one, if he kicked a couple. Although there was one that he tried to bounce it and it went everywhere and then some other Sano kicked it through on the goal line.
I think it was Montagna, wasn't it?
Stuffed that up.
Something like that, anyway.
Could have been. Big win by the D's, though.
It is. And they fought off the comeback from Saints. And Saints looked like they were out of from the start, which they were. And you know they're going to come back at some point. But this year, they've been that inconsistent that I thought the D's, fighting for finals, could have really put their foot on the throat and tried to make up some of the percentage they're going to need if they're going to make it.
The D's are in a really good spot now, I think. If we look at the ladder, and the Saints are really struggling.
Yeah.
So the D's have got a great percentage in seventh. So I think they only need... one win will just about guarantee them.
Yep.
So one win is a good chance. Two wins guarantees it.
Right.
Because it comes down to percentage if Essendon win two.
Did you see Gorney's tweet?
About the rule book?
Yeah. He was just saying he was giving away free kicks left, right and centre and he doesn't know what they were for. So he just stopped competing pretty much.
Right.
He had a bit of a hands-off approach, which I would have thought you'd go up and ask the ump, hey, ump, what was that one?
Yeah, if he did it though, that big bloody mutton head of his, they might think, you know what, I'm just going to give 50s here just so I can get away.
Oh, speaking of, you see the 250s to decide the grand final in the Western League
under 15s. Yep. Fucking idiots.
And then, well, apparently the whole thing was some sort of infringement. There's seconds to go, up by a couple of points. Some infringement. All right, free kick, mouth off mouth, infringe on the mark. Sorry, 50. Mouth off, another 50. Puts him in the goal square. They kick the ball after the siren, win the premiership.
Well, they missed the first shot.
Yeah, missed the first one.
Yeah. But apparently some parents disliked that and beat the living fuck out of everyone around them.
Yep. Yeah. That's fucked up.
Under fucking 15.
Hoppers crossing. I reckon under 15, that's bullshit. You only get 30-minute penalties under 15s.
Yeah.
But, those parents shouldn't be at footy again. Let them fuck right off.
Well, I mean, this may as well shut down Hoppers Crossing football team. Let's be honest, it's known for that sort of shit.
Well, to be fair, there's probably only six parents for the entire team.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
Well, six mums, 20-odd dads.
Yeah. Yeah, funny enough, there's 35 dads. All pain support.
It was a good atmosphere, though, for the game, and I thought it was probably the game of the round because everything else was pretty ordinary.
Yeah. But it's the one I was most looking forward to because it really mattered in terms of the final race.
Like I said, Melbourne are just about guaranteed to get in, and Saints have got a really hard basket now.
I think Melbourne are starting to get their players back too.
Yeah.
Like, they're starting to find a bit of continuity with their team.
I wonder how far Viney's got to be close.
Viney played.
He played this one, did he?
Yeah.
He's been back then.
He didn't have a great one, but he was all right.
I think just being on the park is good for them.
Yeah, yeah, 21 much. Touches and a goal.
No, Jack Watts is who I was thinking of. That's right. Because he played in the VFL. He got dropped.
Yeah.
So he's got to try and claw his way back in. Isn't it amazing, you know, the down times that Melbourne's had, and he was the saviour, and obviously everything that he's been through.
Yeah.
They're finally going to make it back to finals, and he's playing in bloody...
Yeah.
I think they were saying 2007 or 2006, last time they played finals.
I'd believe you. Yeah, sounds about right.
I don't know.
It's funny to think, like, lots of stuff had to happen for them to get there, but Roo's a massive part of it. He came in and said to a lot of the people who were... in the back office trying to tell the coach how to coach,
yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah, well, I think they had to clear out a few of those back office people first, which is part of the, you know, why the AFL came in and went, you out.
Fuck off.
Yeah, but anyway. A good win by the D's, and they should be happy. On to Hawthorn and North at Tassie. You look at this scoreline, 18 goals 8 and 14 goals 5, you go, yeah, pretty accurate.
No.
Thank God the out on the fools weren't counted there. Because if they were, it'd be 18 goals 14, I reckon, and 14 goals 10, or thereabouts.
Yeah.
The amount of turnovers at half back I saw for both sides, it wasn't a good look. This isn't the worst game of the round, because we have yet to come to that one. But, geez, it could have been close.
It's tough to watch.
Yeah. What I found most frustrating as North supporters, watching guys like Attlee, dodge one tackle, run, handball off, get it back, run, and then kick straight to a Hawthorn bloke.
Yeah, and hit him on the chest beautifully.
Happened about 6-7 times, I reckon.
It did.
Incredibly frustrating. Also, Goldstein had a pretty quiet one.
Got his one kick.
Yeah, Bruce didn't have a great game, but he had a shit ton better than Goldstein.
Well, he had a great 5 minutes.
Yeah.
We took two good marks and kicked the goals. But I thought it was puzzling that you got Brown and Pruce roaming around the forward 50. Hawthorn haven't got a bloke over 6'3".
Yeah.
The old Bommett Long, just do it because they're taking marks. And when they did do it, you know, Pruce took a couple and Benny Brown took a couple and his kicking was pretty shit, but never mind that.
So you play the odds. That, I mean, the more he gets it, the more he's going to kick, and the more goes in to score. Doesn't matter if there's a few points there.
I did like young Zerha in his second game. He's a bit of a sneaky player. Yeah, he's getting a bit of veteran about him.
Kicked a nice goal too late in the game.
Yeah, I do like. He looks a lot like Higgins, and I think wearing 44 confuses the fuck out of tackers.
People, yeah, well done. Smart move.
I hope Brent Harvey had a say in that one.
Might have done. There was an interesting... actually, quite a few times the ball got turned over with off-the-ball free kicks. It happened twice to Hawthorn when they were lining up for a shot on goal. But there was one... Oh, God, was it late in the third, I think, where Taylor Duray got... somebody bumped him off the ball. But the camera angle was beautiful because you can see the umpire. It's like 2 metres in front of the umpire. The umpire's looking the other way, and he gets bumped. And then the umpire must have heard something, turns around, and Duray's hit him back. And he's gone, well, that's, you know, give it away. And you see it, you go, what can you do?
Yeah.
Because the umpire's done everything right.
Yeah.
But it is just perfect that he's looking in one direction, turns around, and saw the retaliation.
Better move.
Man, bad luck, guys. That's how it goes. Will Langford's goal kicking.
Oh, God.
Why the hell does somebody get forward so often, and yet... Just you can see it in his face. So he's like, I don't want to kick this. It's John Butcher-esque.
Yeah. Yeah, you feel like, you know, maybe just spend a day at the track kicking for goals, son, and just... that's something you need to work on.
Don't go forward.
Or just don't go forward.
Should not be in a position to go forward. And then sometimes he's resting up forward. Like, no, not you. Somebody else. Anybody else. You go down back.
Instead of the GPS tracker, you need one of those dog tags that give you extra shock as soon as you get out of like a certain area.
As soon as he gets inside the forward 50.
I actually don't reckon he's a bad player, but you're right. His goal kicking is a fucking liability.
Determination is like second to none for that team. Isn't it? He tries real hard.
His field kicking's improved because it was shocking for most of the year. But now, as that's got slightly better, his goal kicking has got a lot worse.
Yeah.
What he needs to do is kick a grubber every time. Because every time he kicks a grubber, it goes around people, it jumps over people. He's got the ball on a remote control. It's just the drop punts he's got trouble with.
I wouldn't mind hit the gym a bit more too. Get a bit of beef up there. Start busting some packs.
He's got a hard head. He's got bust some tackles would be nice.
Yeah.
Do player who had a really good game for mine too is Sicily. Is that loose backman? He was a really good intercept mark and had some quality possession coming off there.
He's a quiet overachiever, I think.
He's a bit of a cunt. Nothing quiet about him.
All Australian level, the second half of the year, like easily in the All Australian team if they picked it from round 12 onwards, which they don't.
Yeah.
You say that, like the loose man, and he reads the ball well.
Yeah.
Good set
of
hands. And then 60 metre kick without issue.
Exactly. Yeah. And obviously, that's always going to be a very handy thing coming out of fullback if you can jump the zone of the defence.
Yeah.
It makes a huge difference to be able to free up your forward line.
And in traffic.
Yeah.
Calm and collected. Like arrogant, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm amazed he doesn't get caught as often as he probably should.
To me, the telling one, though, like the final tally is 60 tackles to 55, but I reckon North had twice that amount broken. Hawthorn were doing gang tackles quite frequently, which meant North couldn't get the ball out of the clearances. I think North won the clearances, 23-9 set of clearances, and then stoppage was a bit different. But they had the dominant hit-out combination with Pruce, but couldn't make use of it because every time they got the ball, there was three players around them all grabbing them, which great pressure from Hawthorn. But yeah, unfortunately, North are going to have to sort that out if they're going to do anything next year.
And I think we've talked about that game far more than it deserved.
Ordinary
game.
Yeah. Well, at least it wasn't Port versus Collingwood.
Sorry, just last thing about that game. Fucks up your bet, doesn't it? The old, what was your bet? You had
percentage bet. There's still a couple of rounds left.
You haven't done well in the betting this year.
No, I haven't won shit.
No, you lost a flare bet too, apparently, didn't you?
Yeah, actually, I can change it back now.
But anyway. All right, Port Adelaide, Collingwood. A boring game, but I thought a well-played boring game by Collingwood. Like, they had to lock it down and say, the only way we're going to win this, if we make it down and dirty, in the mud, struggle.
Yep.
And that's what they tried to do, and nearly got away with it.
And I mean, if anyone's going to be able to implement that sort of strategy, it's going to be Collingwood because they do have that sort of hard-running midfield and players that are not necessarily flashy, but they can grind out a match. It's just a matter of whether they got enough of them. And injury is always going to be Collingwood's biggest sort of debilitator at the moment.
Yeah, too many people out. But at the end of the day, they just did not have the skill level to go with Port. And that's what got Port over the line.
Yeah, and then the thing is, I mean, you still can rattle Port, that's the thing, but you have to be able to do it for all four quarters. Collingwood, you always knew they were going to fall short. It's just a matter of how close they could get.
Well, did you see the Ollie Wines bump at all? He got a fine for it only.
No.
It was a head-high bump, I've forgotten the lad's name. He got up straight away from Collingwood, and that seems to be what saved him. Langdon, it might have been.
Yeah.
But I thought this isn't too dissimilar to some of the other bumps we've seen this year that get 1 or 2 weeks, like the one on Mumford on Gorn.
Yeah.
If they get up and keep playing, it's like, well, it must be low then. But anyway, he gets a fine and he gets to play next week.
Yeah, I'd like to see how much cash the AFL made out of fines this year.
It'd be quite
a fair bit.
Yeah, I'd like to see that tally. Yeah, so. It'd pay their sexual discrimination lawsuits.
Oh, not even close. Do you reckon that it all goes into a kitty and then that they have the end of year bender on that?
It must do. I remember it used to get divvied up to all the other clubs, but that doesn't. Right. I don't think that happens anymore.
It's kind of silly because then it goes back.
Well, no. If let's say North Melbourne get a fine, then the other 17 clubs divvy up. It's not like you get a fine and here's your 1/18th of it back.
Yeah.
But they don't do that anymore.
I'd see the accountant on that because I'm suspicious where this goes.
The AFL wouldn't do anything dodgy. What are you talking about? Port now set themselves. I think it's impossible for them to drop out.
Yep, looking at top four. That's what their mission is. They've got a better percentage than the Tigers, so I think they've got a pretty decent run home as well. So they'll definitely be lucking their chances.
Port have got a bit of a hard one.
They've got Bulldogs next week, and who have they got in round 23? Collingwood? No,
they've
got Collingwood. Okay, so that's easy.
They'll coast that one.
Yeah, so they've got a one win in the bag, just about.
Yeah.
Because
they could end the Bulldog season next week, though.
Yeah, and I've about to pick them to do just that.
Yeah, I might pick them now, but then by the end of this podcast, I could change.
Well, the end of this podcast is coming along very rapidly. Friday night, we'll look at round 22 now. Friday night, one of the games of the season, Adelaide hosting Sydney. Sydney have the wood over Adelaide, too. It's just one of those teams in the past that they've had enough to get past them.
I love this, though, that Adelaide still need to win. If they want a top two,
yeah,
they still need to win this.
Absolutely, 100% guarantees. But also, why Adelaide wants to win is I think that they'd prefer Sydney not be top four.
Yeah,
make them go the hard way.
Yeah, yeah. And look, you can't really bet against Adelaide playing at home any time during the season, but they've shown to be fallible. I mean, Melbourne managed to dust them off after losing away to North Melbourne as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anything can happen. If anyone's going to do it, I think Sydney's the team to do it. That being said, I still don't think it would happen.
They match up so well, though.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like, I mean, Friday night at Adelaide was a very intimidating place to play.
Yeah. I'm going to tip Sydney, though. Having said all that, because there's a few injury clouds at Adelaide.
Yeah, that's true.
And they only need to win one of the next two. And they've got West Coast next week.
Yeah, I'm on Adelaide just because I think they're going to want to put on a show at home. I think it's going to come right down to the wire, but I think Adelaide is going to have a little bit too much ground.
I hope it's a good game.
I feel like he knows he's going to win this game after the first quarter.
Yeah, if this isn't a good game and this season isn't good.
Bulldogs and Port Adelaide out in Ballarat, we said. Yeah.
Ballarat.
On Saturday. Who we got? Bulldogs season on the line.
Ooh, I see. I think they haven't had enough out of Liberatore and Wallace for the last few weeks, so I don't think they can match it with Port. I think Port got too much pace.
It's going to be a tough one for the Bulldogs. This is
plus with Redpath out, he's a massive out for them.
Yeah, it means that Cloak's going to have to shoulder the forward line by himself.
I don't think it happens.
But I mean, they kind of distribute their goals anyway.
True.
It might be just if they kick straight, they win. But yeah, I'm on Port as well.
If they can successfully tag Bontempelli, because he was quiet last week, if they can keep him out of the game, they could put some real hurting on them.
See, I'm going the other way. I think Bulldogs, they just managed to find a way to get it together at some point in the season, and it's usually the sharp end. So I feel like even if they don't make finals, it's not going to be because of disappointing efforts against Port in Ballarat. I feel like they'll be able to pull together this match and win this one.
Who do you think the suburban ground mat suits better?
Well, I mean, I think just the off-season experience in Vietnam gives it to the Bulldogs.
Probably
they've
closest,
played in some shitty grounds over the last 12 months, so I feel like they've got the edge.
They're very similar sides. They love their running carry.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I feel like Bulldogs would be in the element in like a dodgy little town like Ballarat.
Yeah. Collingwood and Geelong at the MCG. Geelong winning that by some margin.
More
to say? No.
I feel like, you may as well just bring Ablett back with you, I think, after this game. Just keep him.
Giants are hosting West Coast.
They could put a fair fucking whack on them.
I think they can. Giants are just tuning up.
Is that Nui anywhere near right?
I saw he's doing ruck work. He actually did some ruck work, but no, he's not coming back.
Let's be honest. West Coast may make finals, may not.
Well,
I don't
very
think
tight.
It's worth risking him.
I think they need at least one win out of the next two, and they've got the Giants and Adelaide.
Yeah,
that's very fucking difficult.
If you're going to risk him to get in the finals, then you're going to risk him all through the finals.
Exactly.
It's not really a good strategy to have for someone that short term, because you're not going to really think you're premiership favourites.
No, and look, last season did show that you can still win it from eighth, but West Coast aren't.
Not when you're West Coast.
That's
just, without Anui, no.
It ain't going to happen. And Nick Nat, he already came back too soon once and got put out for a season. If it happens again, his career is done. And that's not what you want.
Yeah, I feel like West Coast are very fragile at this point, and GWS could really put a hide into them.
Yep. GWS looking unstoppable.
Looking ruthless.
One of their criticisms of West Coast is they're too slow through the midfield. Giants are too fast.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, shit, yeah.
The Suns are hosting Essendon. And Essendon need two wins to finish off, and I feel like they're going to be quite comfortable in this one.
I think the Suns will put up a fight. I can't see them winning, but
for
I think
half.
For a half.
Yeah.
I think to half time, it'll be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
After that, I think it'll just be ground out, but I don't think it'll be a percentage booster.
I think Danaher's going to kick eight.
Yes, that's. I agree. I think that
Davis is pretty decent, though.
Gold Coast doesn't have a full game of footy in him.
I was going to say, Davis is, but he plays with the Giants. Yeah, and you're going to say May?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's injured.
Fuck.
So Essendon,
what about Day?
Injured.
What can I say?
I don't know. Tom Lynch? Injured. Saturday night, Carlton hosting Hawthorn at Etihad Stadium. I'm going to go to this game for a laugh, but there is no reason to watch this game.
This is one for the diehards.
You're going to bring your boots?
No, I wouldn't play in this shit. I think it's been 10 or 11 years since Carlton have beaten Hawthorn. And let's be honest, Carlton have popped up for a few surprise wins in the last couple of years. They could do it.
Yeah.
The worst part about this is it'll be an open roof. It'll be because it's not worth the power consumption to close it.
Probably not.
Yeah. Yep, this is true.
Unless whoever closes the roof is on the Carlton payroll, in which case they're going to pay him.
It could be the most exciting thing to happen in the game too.
It could be.
Imagine do that. Open it up half time.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
give them something to watch.
Sprinklers. Make it Bernie. Bernie method.
Yeah. Melbourne and the Lions, MCG on Sunday. Have the Lions played their last grand final for the year? You know, they beat West Coast. Gold Coast last weekend.
Oh, they're going to absolutely spank it here. Melbourne, they're not as good as I was hoping they'd be in this time of year, but they're good enough.
Yeah, well, I mean, the win against St Kilda puts them in good stead, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I think this win just about guarantees guarantees finals for them.
Yep.
I think that they're going to do it emphatically and enjoy it.
I agree, yeah. I'd like to see if some Brisbane supporters bring out their own little platter. Probably heroin, cocaine, some weed.
Some Bundy. Yeah. Definitely Bundy.
Yep. And yeah, just swap it for a bit of blue cheese.
Yeah,
sure, the Melbourne fans won't complain.
See if they can do a bit of a trade route.
That's it. In the, like, Brisbane bring the crackers.
I did see that some of the Redditors managed to determine the Dauphinois Bleu.
Yep.
That the cheese that happened to be used, and there was a bit of a cheese critique going on Reddit for a little while there about the charcuterie that was chosen.
I reckon. Who would have thought Melbourne games would have inspired this sort of conversation?
Yeah. Who would have thought? Saints and North at Etihad Stadium.
It'll be Roo's last home game.
Yes, because he's, well, unless they can play a final at Etihad against somebody else.
Well, they won't be getting home final.
Unlikely.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Nah, well, they might play against, you know, Bulldogs or Essendon.
Yeah.
But I think that's very unlikely.
Yeah. How's the VFL team going?
I have no clue. All I know is Box Hill's on top.
Just stick him down there and just wring everything you can out of him.
We've got a tip for the game. Saints, I think.
I think more hope than anything. I think North will do it. I think Rashido, his final match is the only reason people are going to turn up, though.
Yeah, it was about 10 years ago that Rashido played his final match.
Fuck it, I did it again. Revolt.
And the Dockers are hosting Richmond at Domain Stadium. The Dockers are shithouse.
Yeah, but, terrible. Yeah.
But Richmond are unpredictable.
Richmond, they know how to fuck up a good thing.
Yeah.
That's what's scary. So this is going to be way closer than it ought to be, and you wouldn't be too silly for betting on Frio.
Yeah, see, I think this is the sort of match where if Richmond lose, the bandwagon gives up. So I think they'll win.
Bandwagon doesn't give up. We just switch sides. With a four, you're against you.
I think they'll win just to generate that hope. And every Richmond supporter is going to be hoping, knowing they shouldn't be hoping, but hoping anyway.
They're going to be hoping that they don't have their feelings hurt again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Poor old Todd.
It was just like a scar tissue. Like, by now, you're just undisappointable.
Exactly. It's just like conditioning. It's like Pavlov's response. You know the situation, then you start panicking. It's almost like you force the issue, force the result.
Maybe Dusty can get off the chain and cement the Brownlow there.
That's where you'd hope so. And against Fife, you know, that's the matchup you're always going to look forward to. So you hope they have a one-on-one competition.
Quite different players, but both entertaining.
In the past years, they've done a few head-to-heads, you know, with Fife, Dangerfield, and they run off each other rather than try and shut each other down. Yep. So if they do that, I think it helps Richmond, and I think Richmond wins.
So do I. And I think this is one of the games where you don't really need to put Dusty down the forward line to rest. I feel like you've got a forward line that can speak for itself. You just put him in the middle, and when he needs rest, you bring him off. That's all you need.
Yeah. How good is that forward line going to look next year with Kaz bowling?
Back line will be great. You can take a strong mark, that fella.
Oh, absolutely you can.
He may even be able to get on to the end of a few of Bashahuli's kicks from the goal square.
Jesus Christ.
All right, that'll have to do us for this week. And that's round 21 all wrapped up.
Pointy end of the season.
There we go.
Getting to it.
Yeah, bye. Enjoy your time.
Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.